We continue our study in Mark 10, verses 35 through 45. More specifically, we'll be looking at verses 41 through 44. In this text before us, we have James and John asking the Lord to sit on the throne along with them, one on each side. That they asked that they would sit one on the right hand and one on the left hand when he comes into his glory. The other disciples, they hear them say this, and they are basically furious. Verse 41 of Mark 10. And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. When the rest of the disciples heard about what John and James were up to, they became angry. Perhaps they were angry because these disciples were trying to promote themselves over the rest. Or perhaps they were angry because James and John beat them to the jaw and asked Jesus Christ first. Maybe they had wanted to be first. Whatever the reason, they are angry. Their reaction to what James and John did is no better than the request James and John made themselves. The ten hear what James and John did, and they react by becoming angry. People don't always act like we think they should. And when they don't, it is easy to become offended with them. It is so easy to allow anger to creep into our hearts. People will offend us, and we will hold a grudge against them. We'll put on the front of righteousness while our hearts are full of unforgiveness. Let me just remind you that God cannot work in that kind of an environment. When there's a problem between the saints of God, it hinders the work of God in his church, in your relationships. It will hinder the work of God. God's will is for us to walk in absolute forgiveness. Luke 1:2-5 teaches us that. About it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck than to be thrown into the sea, then you should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Is there anyone listening today that could be said of you? Simply repent of that sin. Ephesians 4, verse 32 tells us, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. There's no excuse for it. You can't hold on to that anger. You can't hold on to that unforgiveness. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. There's people listening today. Maybe hindering the work of God in your life, in your church, because you won't forgive others. You have hard feelings over events that occurred 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, or even longer. You need to get right with that person so you can be right with the Lord. You can't even say the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. That's what it means. Don't try to make it mean anything else. Simply repent of your sin and forgive that person or persons. Others listening need to seek forgiveness from those that you have offended. When there's hard hearts and hurt feelings amongst the people of God, there'll be no power of God in that church and in your relationships. You must forgive. You will dampen the power of God. You will put a wall between you and God. When there's that kind of situation, it tells me that we have allowed our relationships to become too fragile. If your relationship can be broken simply by misdeeds and misunderstandings, they're too fragile. What kind of a relationship do you have? You don't get rid of your mother, your father, your brother, and your sister over a misunderstanding or a misdeed, do you? The Lord said our relationships ought to be marked by love. Is that your relationship with others. Is that your relationship with the body of Christ? John 13, verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's what it means. Don't mean anything less. Doesn't mean if somebody wants to go for the glory, seek power, just like James and John, you to become angry with them and unforgiveness towards them. And have unforgiveness towards them. You're to forgive them. I'm supposed to love you. We're supposed to love others with unconditional, unfailing, unquestioning love. And that is it. No excuses. And when I do treat others unconditionally, unfailingly, unquestioningly, I can forgive them and walk with them as my brothers and my sisters. But when I do not love like I should, I hold the past over their head and really over my own head. The problem is not with you or what you have done. The problem is with me. My love is not right. My heart is not right. If there's unforgiveness there, the problem is you. It's not the other person. They may have been the one who did something wrong to you. But look in the mirror. That's the problem. He tells you, you must forgive. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You have to forgive. Look at Mark 42. So first of all, the disciples, they're angry in verse 41. Verse 42 tells us, but Jesus called them to himself and said to them. Notice, Christ steps in. See, he could have left them in their anger, but he doesn't. Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Jesus doesn't allow their anger to simmer. He addresses the issues at hand and calls their attention to the Gentile world, to the world around them, to the world around us. He lets them know that seeking, that high seat seeking, that want to be first, that you got to be on top, is the way of the world. That's the way of the world. You're thinking carnally. The dog eat dog. I have to achieve. I have to be the president. I have to be the CEO. I have to be out front. I have to be number one. Those who rule in this world rise to the top by grabbing power. And most times, it's by oppressing their opponents. You see that mentality all around us in the world today. And if you would doubt that for a moment, just look at any election. Every candidate is doing everything in his or her power to come to the top. It doesn't matter. A lie, cheat, lie, shoot at, tear down, rip up, do everything possible to get ahead of that other person. Now, do you really think as a Christian that that is your calling? To rip and tear and chop because you disagree with somebody's policies? Or even worse, you don't even disagree with their policies because the people from the same party be ripping each other up. And then after they get one to the top, then hey, everybody's man patting each other on the back and playing the hypocrite, acting like, hey, you're my buddy now. You don't think the world sees that? You think that that's godly? And then on top of it, you bring that kind of mentality into the church. And you find that situation in the church. And that's nothing new. Look at John 3, not the Gospel of John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. 3 John 9, 2, 11. This is 2,000 years ago. This isn't new, wanting to get up in the front. I wrote to the church, but the Theophilus, who loves to have the preeminence among them. Notice, he loves the preeminence. Straight up. Do you love the preeminence? Do you want to be first? Do you want to be the recognized person? Do you want to be the authority? You crave it. You love it. You want it. It says, Diotrephes loves to have the preeminence among them. Does not receive us. Not receiving an apostle of the Lord. That's a really godly boy. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, talking nonsense against us with malicious words, and not content with that. He himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to put them out of church. Preeminence, wanting the glory, gotta be first, and look what it leads to. Speaking of others with malicious words, doesn't receive the brethren, forbids those putting them out of the church. Unbelievable. But is it really unbelievable? Because when you want the preeminence being first, you only care about yourself. Everybody else is just a means to the end. And the end is your glory, not the glory of God. As we'll see what brings glory to God. Verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. But he who does evil has not seen God. Pretty tough words for seeking to be first in preeminence. There are always those individuals who like to think they can run the show and have all the authority. It's much better to allow the Lord to run your life, to run His church, than it is for you to try and usurp His authority. He wants the disciples in the text and us reading the text today to understand that God has a higher goal for His children. Higher than being first? What could that possibly be, Bill? Well, here's the good news. Look at Mark 10, verses 43 and 44. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Oh, boy. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Totally upends what we think. In these verses before us, Jesus simply restates an earlier teaching. He taught about this in Mark 9, verses 33 through 37. Being a servant. Being a servant of all. That is not what we want, though. We want to be first. Christ taught in Mark 9. Verse 35, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And then Christ goes on, he took a child and set the child in the midst of them. And when he'd taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives him. So then he goes on using the child as an illustration. These men, they didn't get the message the first time. In Mark 9, they didn't get the message. Here they're in Mark 10. They're still fighting to be first. They still haven't gotten the message. Many of us still haven't gotten the message today. As I said, they didn't get the first message. Maybe they got the second message. And maybe we haven't gotten the first message or the second message either. The Lord wants us to know that the path to the top leads through the bottom. The path to the top leads through the bottom. If you really want to reach the top, you must start out at the bottom. If you really want to be a leader, you must first learn how to serve. Jesus uses two words here that are of note. In verse 43, you have the word minister. Shall be your servant. That's the word that gives us deacon, the word servant. The word servant. It shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great amongst you must be your servant. The word that we use for a deacon. That word speaks of the person who serves others. And then the other word is even stronger in verse 44. And whoever of you desires to be first of all shall be slave of all. We here in the West, all we fight for all the time is our rights, our rights, our rights, our rights, our rights. What would you fight for, the right to be a slave today? Fight for the right to be a servant of others, a slave for others, a slave of God, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. The idea is this: if we want to be recognized and respected, we must give up all ambition and selfishness. We must live our days serving others. There's no exceptions to that rule. You're not an exception to the rule, and I'm not an exception to the rule. All ambition, all selfishness, we must live out our days serving others. It means being willing to get none of the glory. And men and women at heart, we're glory hounds, starting in the garden. And you shall be as God. You wanted the glory. Adam and Eve wanted the glory from God. They wanted to usurp his authority. They wanted his place. Satan was thrown out of heaven because he wanted the Lord's place. He wanted to sit on the throne. We must be willing to do the most servile and menial of tasks with no thought of receiving recognition or thanks. If we want to come out on top, we must first start by being a slave. As I mentioned earlier, when Jesus had spoke to his men about this issue in Mark 9, verses 33 to 37, he used a child to teach them about service. And why a child? I think there's several real reasons. First, children in that society were at the bottom of the social ladder. They were viewed as mere property and largely ignored by most adults. Second, Jesus used a child to teach his disciples about service because children really can't do anything for adults. A child can't enhance a person's position in society. A child cannot add to your success. A child can't make you more important in the eyes of the world. However, a child can teach you much about ministry, much about being a servant, much about being a slave. Think about it. Every parent in this listening area knows what happens when you have a new baby. That child demands everything. From day one, it must be served. Every need must be met by a willing adult. Children come into our homes, they require constant care and attention. And if they're ignored, they'll let you know all about it in a loud and an irritating way. When parents have children, they learn what giving and service are all about. When that child is born, you give and you give and you give and you give and you keep on giving. And when that child grows, you give and you give and you give. Often, even after they reach adulthood, you continue to give and you give and you give and you give, often receiving nothing in return. Jesus used a child because children need to be served, but they cannot serve us in return. That is a lesson we all need to take to heart. Too often, we only serve those who can do something for us in return. Who can do something for us in return. Why are you sucking up to the pastor all the time? Ouch, that just hurt somebody. The Lord would have us faithfully, selfishly, selflessly serve others without giving a thought to what we might receive in return. If you're looking for respect, learn to serve. People respect those who serve them. Respect is earned, is never demanded. You want to be respected? Serve people. Far too many people want to be recognized for the things they do. They want their pat on the back. They want to hear thank you. They want to hear a good job. They do what they do because they want to be recognized. And the question is that you and I today? Why do you do the things that you do? Do you need the thank you and the good job, or are you doing it as the scripture says, as unto the Lord? Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. We need people today who would care less about themselves, who would care less if they're ever recognized, as long as God's work is accomplished. We need people today who can see beyond themselves to the needs of others. We need people who willingly become slaves so that others are served. You want to be great? Be a slave to everybody. And to most of us, that is not good news. That is not what we want to hear naturally. But we're new creatures in Christ. We've been born again. Behold, all things have become new. The old have passed away. All things have become new. You're a new creation. The old person, the old guy, the old girl, the old man, the old woman has passed away. You're a new creation. You've been given new desires. Hold the Holy Spirit has filled you now with love and peace and joy and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and righteousness and goodness, and He has given you the desire to serve others. If Christ came to this world to serve others, why would you think that it would be anything less for you? Christ comes to dwell in you. And that's where we are today. That's where we are today in our text. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give His life a ransom for many. There's the gospel. There it is. There's Christ. He's given His life a ransom for many. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. What is the will of God for your life? To be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. What does that look like? Look at the life of Jesus Christ. He's telling you to be a servant and a slave of all. If you would be great, be a slave and a servant of all. For Christ has given His life as a ransom for many. If you do not know this Jesus Christ, I would plead with you today to come to Jesus Christ. He came to save men and women. He came to give His life a ransom for many. And today I would ask you, would you be of that many that He has given His life for? Then come. Whosoever will, come. Come today. Be saved from your sins. Escape the wrath to come. Child of God, there's your good news. There's your gospel. He gave His life a ransom for many. You're no longer your own. You've been bought with the price. So let us pray to be servants and slaves of all men and women. And Father, we ask you these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.